Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. The latest obstacle on the road to the $2.9 billion Red Line light rail project is a lawsuit filed by 25 plaintiffs who own 20 properties on North Fremont Avenue in the West Baltimore neighborhood of Poppleton. Plans call for a tunnel under their houses. The 14-mile project will run from East Baltimore out to parts of Baltimore County in the west. The plaintiffs filed suit in Baltimore City Circuit Court. They contend the plans for a tunnel have made their properties worthless. They're asking for $22 million in damages and an injunction to stop the state from going forward with the project. Brian Sears, the Daily Record's business writer, covered the lawsuit last week. He's with me in the studio. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Why did these property owners file?
Well, essentially, they're arguing that what the state has done in rerouting the Red Line and essentially changing the direction, putting it under their properties in this 300 block of North Fremont, essentially has rendered their properties valueless. They argue that it's effectively a condemnation taking and was done so in violation of at least one state law, 2006 bill, that they claim required the state to engage with them and have open discussions about the possible routes and how their properties might be affected.
Are they essentially asking to be bought out?
That's my read of the lawsuit. I mean, the lawsuit doesn't say that, but that is essentially how I read the lawsuit, given the amount of damages, except for the fact that they are also asking a judge to permanently enjoin the state from developing the Red Line project. So the other side of this lawsuit is they are effectively seeking to try and kill the transit project.
But they're focused entirely on their own properties. They're not making larger transportation arguments.
That's correct.
Like
they
that.
Are only focused on these particular properties, 20 properties in the 300 block of North Fremont.
The MTA, as you quoted them, was not formally commenting on the suit, which they say they haven't gotten a copy of. But Henry Kay, the Maryland Transit Administration's Executive Director for Transit Development and Delivery, did talk to our producer, Jamila Kay, about the process. She asked him why the Red Line's route or alignment was redrawn and what the differences are between the alignments.
The primary difference between the 2009 alignment and the one that we finally adopted in 2012 was tunnel versus surface, Fremont Avenue versus Martin Luther King, and underground station versus surface station. The idea of changing the alignment, you know, evolved gradually over a period of time between 2009 and 2012. And by the time we got to 2012, you know, we were fairly settled on this new idea as being technically better and also better meeting the expectations of the community as they had described them to us.
Brian, very briefly, help us visualize what he's talking about when he ticks off Fremont versus MLK, tunnel versus underground station versus overground station.
As I understand this, the original idea was to have this track along Martin Luther King, and it was going to enter the city closer into the downtown area, somewhere around Lexington Street. As they came to develop this, they began to look at some of the engineering concerns. There was a surface, the plans for a surface station that would have required some interesting engineering because of the traffic. And so they decided that it might be better to reroute it. They're going to bring the route actually along Route 40 and take the pick up the tunnel in the center of Route 40 and essentially mine out an underground station. In my discussions with Henry Kay, they seem to believe that this is a better solution and a more reliable solution in terms of the design.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Brian Sears, business writer for the Daily Record. We're talking about challenges facing the Red Line light rail project. As you mentioned, the residents alleged the state did not properly notify them of the new plan, but Henry Kay, MTA's executive director of transit development, told Jamila Kay that people were notified beginning in the spring of 2012.
In that time frame, in terms of public input, both a round of public open houses, and then also in the spring, and also a round of public hearings in the fall. And, you know, among many other topics, the change in alignment in that Poppleton area was part of that. in 2013, once we'd received final federal environmental approval, you know, we began a process of more detailed engineering, a process we call final design, and that, you know, comes in final engineering drawings that are the basis of an advertisement for a contractor to build the line. And part of that process involves contacting the owners of all the buildings along the tunnel alignment, because we want to make sure that we know that there's nothing surprising about that building, so you know we can look at it from the outside, and you know it appears to be a standard building with maybe a standard depth basement, but you know sometimes you're surprised. And so around that period of time, as part of that process, we contacted, you know, one by one, the homeowners, you know, west of Martin Luther King, including along Fremont Avenue, and asked if we could have access to their, you know, their basements, so we could sort of see what was down there. And I think that's the formal notification that the homeowners refer to.
Is there a legal requirement that MTA alert property owners?
Well, the legal requirement that the homeowners mention is there was a bill passed in 2006 that created an advisory committee that was supposed to do a lot of looking at this and report to the General Assembly, but also to work with the community to find out what their concerns and interests were. And what the folks that filed the lawsuit have essentially said is that, you know, while this system was created and MTA did in fact come out and meet with community residents, the one thing that didn't happen until they got to this final design phase was when they started to get letters that said you specifically are going to be impacted, and that's when they became aware. But at that point, the line had been rerouted and the die had sort of been cast on that, and they were really coming out to do the engineering phase and starting to, as Henry Kay said, to, you know, try to get a look at the properties to learn about the specific properties that were going to be affected.
So is the lawsuit alleging that MTA failed to follow a legal requirement, or simply that it was unfair to the
both.
Resident?
The short answer is both. They are claiming that they did not follow the law related to this 2006 bill that was passed, and also that essentially what the MTA did was surreptitious, and you know treated them unfairly, and that it's an unfair taking of their property.
In addition to this lawsuit, what other challenges face the Red Line?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is going to be this tunnel that they're constructing. You know, this is right now a $2.9 billion project. The largest portion of this is going to be more than a mile worth of tunnel underneath of Baltimore City. There's a significant amount of engineering that will have to go into this. They have to worry about water table issues in some areas around Fells Point. They have to worry about anchoring of the Galleria building. They're going to actually be apparently tunneling under a CSX tunnel. So this is a fairly significant project. And I think when you look at sort of the recent history of projects that involve tunneling underground, these things tend to get expensive. And nobody that I've talked to at this point believes that $2.9 billion is going to be the final cost of this project.
The Red Line and how much it costs came up before the Board of Public Works last week.
Yeah, ironically enough, the day before this lawsuit was filed, specifically in relationship to a condemnation issue, developer Mark Saperstein owns a building in the 100 block of Lombard where the state wants to put a ventilation shaft for this project. And they appraised the property at $240,000. He kind of dug his feet in. He wanted initially four times that. The state ultimately agreed to buy the property for $550,000, and that caused State Comptroller Peter Francho and State Treasurer Nancy Kopp to raise the question of why isn't the state looking at using condemnation and eminent domain more when they have these issues, because this is a public project. And essentially what they've gotten is that, you know, the State Transportation Secretary, Jim Smith, has said that they will look at that, as issues come up. But, you know, it's one of those things where you have a developer who got a pretty decent deal, more than twice the value of the appraised property, and these private property owners who are saying that the state is really trying to railroad them.
Is there any impact that the November election could have on the Red Line?
You know, that really remains to be seen. Anthony Brown has remained committed to these projects, although both candidates have talked about wanting to find a way to restore some of the local share of the Highway User Trust Fund. A lot of that's paid for out of gas tax, but the gas taxes that we've recently raised are going specifically to help offset the cost of the red line. So if we start to move money back to the locals, the question becomes, what's the effect on these larger projects?
So Henry Kay told us, may have told you too, that first construction activities are to begin in 2015. By 2016, major work would be underway and red line operations are slated to start. Operations are slated to start in 2022. Do you see this as a realistic timetable?
You know, I think that there's still a couple of hurdles there. I mean, most importantly, some of the federal funding that still has to come through. They haven't made some of their final determinations. My experience with smaller projects is that there are always delays. So I would expect that there will be delays. How significant, you know, is anybody's guess at this point?
Brian, I appreciate you bringing us up to date. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brian Sears is the Daily Record's business writer. We have a link to his reporting on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also there, a full list of the next of the MTA's open houses on the Red Line. And at that website, our extended interview with Henry Kay of the MTA, in which he describes the differences in the Red Line alignments and shares some of the feedback he's gotten from residents. I'm Sheila Cast, ahead on Maryland Morning, cutting a year off the 4-year college experience. Stay with us on 88.1.